Okay, yeah, when I was in the school architecture, and there's a quite a radical changeover that a director from England called Henry Alder is a very philosophical, conceptual thinker. His approach is basically compress a 7-year architecture into 3-year, and it's basically ask all the students to explore all kind of new ideas as much as possible. His philosophy is that we have a whole lifetime to learn how to draw, draft, and run an architect's office, but those three most critical period is to think and to explore, you know, all kind of wild ideas. And the time we had Arthur Erickson and Bruno Freschi as our teacher. Arthur is the one that introduced Alan Goodwin into the school, trying to combine movement, the more kinesthetic approach into architecture. Like one of the things architecture is not just building, and it's experience. If you walk through a city, you don't perceive architecture as static. You know, you have people, you have trees, and you have shops, and you know, interaction of the total environment. And a lot of things, unless you're aware of those movements, and so the whole architectural environment would become alive rather than a static place. People would admire just a building. That's one thing I learned about movement. And actually later on, Helen and I and Evelyn Roth, the few of us went down to California. It's a very, very important experience we had. We went to the Halperin's workshop in California. He's a landscape architect, his wife is a dancer. Every summer they have a workshop combining designer, architects, and dancer together. And just basically experience different kind of environment in the city, in the hillside of California. And it's also, you know, at that time he's experimenting with Timothy Leary theory. So combining kind of psychology, movement, and city together. Because basically, like, that's how movement become important. Like, we had to write a dance, we had to write a score, and very precise within, you know, 5 minutes, you have the right score and how you could, you know, integrate and different kind of a movement and the environment together. So we have a workshop that.
So for you, it was the best of both worlds because it was dance and architecture.
Exactly, yeah. Perfect. That kind of reinforced my understanding of what movement's all about.
And in that situation, you and Helen were both students or participants in the workshop.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But when you first met Helen, she was your instructor.
And I joined her company, The Company.
Vico?
Yeah. Uh-huh, Vico. Uh-huh. Yeah. So we did. You know, that time we also involved in the some of the intermediate artists.
Right.
Like we did a piece in the Vancouver Art Gallery. I don't know. He's name is called John Neon.
Oh yes, uh-huh. Johnny Neon.
Yeah, that's right. He's the experiment with, you know, the neon light. We developed this set that basically, you know, dancer would touch the neon tube, it light up, you know, in different kind of a spatial configuration. So we jointly designed a set with the Helen's Dance Company. It was a fascinating experience.
So now this was the period at UBC in the architecture department where you were sort of throwing the desks out and building environments inside the
Absolutely,
department?
Absolutely, yeah. The time of basis is deinstitutionalized the whole school architecture. We basically lived in our studio. We took out all the rigid partition. We built our own space and just camp and work there. We have people running a motorcycle up and down the stare at the architecture building. It's a pretty, you know, exciting period. A lot of freedom for thinking, experimenting, concepts and ideas. That we really kind of bonded together and exchange ideas and, you know, support each other. And it's, I think looking back, it's definitely it's a very learning period.
So did you meet Evelyn at that time? Were you working with Helen?
Actually, I met Evelyn as in a school. Actually, I believe even, yeah, she was a librarian at UBC, and that we came across either Evelyn's or in one of the architectural parties, and that, you know, she started doing a lot of video crocheting and all the you know, really fun stuff. And that since then we've been, you know, connected quite regularly. Mm. And Evelyn also part of Helen's dance company.
So what was it like to work with that, with Helen?
What I found is it very exciting to kind of, you know, every time we meet, we have a lot of brainstorming session. She's one of the most incredible artists I know, that she would basically think out of the blue. Sometimes it's hard to comprehend, but at the same time, when you're open to her, you know that, you know, something is there, is working. And is that I was pretty open to her, you know, idea. And I didn't, she's like it's, her mind is constantly, you know, it's conceptualizing. And we just, you know, she bounced that on me and I bounced that back to her. And it's a very, you know, productive. That's why we seem to work as a very good team. And that. At the same time, she's pretty down to earth. And she had a 11-year son one time. Unfortunately, you know, he died in a camping trip.
That must have been quite a blow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I still remember that was in Seattle. And her husband, Michael, was staying with me. In the middle of the night, we got his news. And he just took off. And that was a really, really sad event. Mm. I don't think Helen ever, you know, get out of that. Mm.
She didn't dance, though, did she? She was more of an idea person or a choreographer?
No, she danced in a workshop in California. Uh-huh. And basically, she dances like any participant, and but most of the time she basically direct and choreographed the whole show. Yeah.
So, did you think of what you were doing as performance art, or was it mostly was it dance, or?
Yes, some of them are performance art, particularly event specific. Uh-huh. That we do in the intermediate space, art gallery space. But quite often I see it as more environmental art. Like you do not just relating to the dancer, you do, you know, deal with the, you know, the stage set and the space involved. And they may be more from the architectural kind of viewpoint.
Right. So it changed every to each. It didn't. If it was at a different venue, then it became a different dance because you responded to the space in a different way.
Because I remember Helen Goodman did something similar to Ian Baxter, basically try to use a whole city as a backdrop. Mm. So I think she planned something like that one time. I can't recall. Was that
the City Feast?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, the City Feast.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I noticed that one of the things is what's unique about intermediate era, like all the work is messy, right? It's not slick, because that's why the nature experimental, and you just, you know, happen very quickly and just do it. Compared to all the art form now, it's very slick. People spend more time in getting smoother and a presentable art form, rather than just, you know, happen a moment, it's gone. That's why it's hard to capture some of the stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was all about the commodification, a reaction against the commodification of art, right?
Yeah.
And the capitalist system.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, and just a complete disregard for the archival or,
exactly,
you know, the future or, you know, anything, because it was the activity.
Exactly.
That was
yeah.
the process that mm-hmm. was so important. Right?
Yeah.
That was how we were experimenting.
Mm-hmm.
So on the surface, intermedia looks now, compared to now, it looks kind of frivolous and hokey. Mm-hmm. And
the same time, it's not true when you look at it, you know, because there's so much happening and all the idea just crossfire. Compare even art school now going so clean, so clinical.
Mm-hmm.
Everything look, you know, have to be presented properly rather than, oh, that's what it is. I think that it killed creativity that way when a student or artist have to think about how he present a public instead of just present an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why intermediate valuable. That's, I think, in a way, that's what I learned is essence architecture. Like, even we're talking now, we have light. Uh-huh. It might be a light, artistic light show. You know, it's that, you know, the space and color, everything is integrated. And we move, we talk, and that, you know. So it is that exactly the essence of city and architecture.
Oh, you're saying that what we're doing right now.
Yeah, it's not much different than that, except we're in a box, we're a color box, full of other box. That's what
That's
I mean.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah, like it's busy, it's a theater, you know, people doing theater, script writing all day long, you know, the way we talk and the buzz we hit, that's what sometimes was artist doesn't need to be restricted to any specific environment. You look for it, it's there. So that I think that's what strikes me. I mean,
so in this sense, the artist is bringing the experience to the public, is bringing that recognition to the public.
Yeah.
It's saying, you know, here we are, this is what it's like, you know, then you go out in the world and you can see it in your own life.
Yeah,
right?
So they become more sensitive and become more aware
how
people talk and move and, you know.
That's good. Yeah, that's really interesting.
I think that's how I see, you know, that's why I'm interested in movement, and because I see each project is all integrated.
Uh-huh.
You know. Right now, you know, I have a daughter. We adopted a daughter from Vietnam a few years ago, and actually I learned a lot from her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were there once, right? And how we moved, the joy and all that. And that led to, you know, explore more of that. And that. But I definitely like to see, you know, we have so much potential in Vancouver, you know, both the environment and the people, diversity of people. And somehow, you know, like to see such intermediate, more integrated approach in art, people, environment, culture, not just, you know, separate viewpoint, everything. And that's why I was very impressed by Anna Halperin's approach in dancing. Like she was experimenting with the whole racial integration through movement. Like the whole group has lived whole summer together, and not only we get to know each other well, and it's like she actually doing pieces with, you know, Afro-Americans and Caucasian dancer, and with a very intimate movement, and when you watch it, you begin to all the racial, you know, kind of a conflict totally gone, just because two people cannot connect so well. Oh, that actually, she got called from the big corporation to conduct a workshop for them and how they could, you know, resolve that kind of, you know, racial tension, whatever, just inter-human tension through movement and art. That's, I think, that's, I was very impressed as I see if the art form can reach the point and people can, you know, see the value and begin integrating the daily life, and that's a true art form for me, rather than display an art gallery, and that they're able to just make the movement. It would be a big transition somewhere. Yes, yeah, somehow I think because, you know, we often have preconception, we have to go to a specific place to identify the art gallery for art and sports stadium for sport. And that's why, you know, I find the whole Western culture is that everything is segmented.
Well, you mentioned that to Helen.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I said, same as sport, people, you know, thought sport a different thing, but, you know, the movement, the kinetic, you know, hockey and all that, you know, they are, you know, form of a dance. And it's, again, people don't see it as a separate light.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Same as that, that's why it's great when you put in the context.
So it, what it does is it makes it more accessible to more people, more different kinds of people. So it's not just jocks or sports people.
Absolutely,
everybody can appreciate it then.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, quite often,
I think, same as a lot of artists, you know, anything sporty is, you know, the jocks. Begin to separate people.
Right.
But once you, you know, put in a common frame.
Right.